From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Wait. Before you find yourself at the garden center grabbing up every irresistible thing that calls out to you, figuring you can somehow find a role for it in this season's container designs, think again. What's your plan for this year's seasonal pots? Or is there a plan? That's our topic today with David Mattern, a horticulturist at Chanticleer Garden in Pennsylvania, who has some container garden design advice to share. More in a moment, but first, these messages.
Underwriting support for Away to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at wholesale prices. On the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, offering 30 new seed varieties for 2024. Professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, whiteflowerfarm.com.
David Mattern has gardened for 10 years at Chanticleer in Wayne, Pennsylvania, where he oversees the vegetable garden and lends his creativity to other aspects of this world-class landscape too, including Chanticleer's many inspired vignettes of seasonal containers, which is our topic today. Welcome back, David. It's nice to speak to you. We're not going to talk about vegetables today.
Yeah, not this time. It's wonderful to be back though. Thank you.
Yeah. We have the last couple of times a few years ago, we talked about vegetables and putting the vegetable garden to bed and picking new vegetables from the seed catalogs and things like that. But I recently read your article on container gardening in the 2024 Old Farmer's Almanac Garden Guide magazine. And I loved, you know, reading about like your thought process, which is what we'll talk about. And then just a couple of weeks ago, seeing the photos of your empty pots all out on display on Instagram. It was like you staged them, but there's nothing in them. So tell us about that. Is that the starting point?
That's kind of the beginning of the process. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think when it comes to container design, you know, we always think of the plant combinations in the containers. You know, that's the fun stuff, right? So, you know, where you put them is just as important, I think. And so I always like to sort of start by looking at the bigger picture. You know, how things fit into the greater context of the garden. And so that's really where it all starts with, you know, all these empty containers sort of sitting around the garden. And so, you know, late winter is the beginning of my container design process, because you can see the bare bones of your garden, of your landscape and where things are. So I'll start to set my containers out empty, you know, just to kind of see how they're kind of influencing the space, how they're kind of creating a sense of feel of what I'm trying to do, you know, what my intent is in that space. And the nice thing about that is, you know, containers that are empty are a lot lighter. So any kind of reduction in a back strain in the garden, I'm all for it. But it's a nice way to kind of play around and get a sense of the space. You know, if the containers are set out, even when they're empty, they should have an impact. They should kind of start to create that feeling or intent that you're looking for. And so when they're planted up, they feel a little bit more integrated into your landscape and not just kind of plunked in there.
Right. And so what could be some of the sort of intentions that you could start to formulate with, you know, I am assuming you put them out in your best guess of where you want them. And then maybe you're going to fiddle around with them a little bit, you know, before the potting up stage comes and get the sort of vignettes or the placements right. So what could be sort of some of the purposes of, you know, those placements? Like what can containers well-placed do in a garden?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, kind of think of what your intent is. And the beauty of containers is you can move them around and change them. And so, you know, some people will use things for using containers as screening or as accent features. You know, containers can really draw attention to themselves. So using them to indicate a transition from one garden space to another, or indicate where the front door is, or even just sort of creating an intimate space within a larger space, so on your deck or around a sitting area. So just kind of thinking of that intent will kind of indicate how you're going to start to cluster things together, or maybe it's not a cluster of containers. Maybe it's one big container that you want to accent a long view out into the garden.
Right. The shapes of pots, I have four really, really, really big, like they're about maybe almost 3 feet across, low terracotta bowls. And they're sort of my signature pots. They're the pots I've had for the longest. And, you know, it's a sort of a ritual day every late winter when they go out empty to their spots and so forth. And they've always been in the same four spots. You make me think of a new place. So I love low bowls and, you know, big, sort of this big dish kind of feeling. But different pots, different shapes and the scale and so forth also affects the impact. And so do you have sort of favorite shapes, or do you mix up shapes that you like together? Like, do you like a really tall thing with a low thing? Do you know what I mean? Should we be thinking about that?
I think it's really very subjective. I think it should be the shape that you find interesting, really, you know, because I think tall ones are very dramatic and upright, and you know, low wide things you can really change up from year to year. You can do really low plants and have kind of a little landscape in a low bowl, or do big tall plants coming out of that. So I think really it depends on sort of what interests you. You know, I think all of this is very subjective. And then there's glazes, you know, like I said, that can add to the color. If you're looking for a big accent, you know, I call them exclamation points in the garden, something that's really going to draw attention to yourself or a long view. You know, that's where big glazes or really strong shapes can really help out there, like big vase-shaped containers or even
right.
something very architectural in contrast to everything else in your garden.
Right. The glaze thing is a big deal, because even a small glazed pot really stands out. Like, I have one that's green, you know, beautiful green glaze, and you know, I just love putting it on kind of the table on the patio, and it just catches your eyes. Even though there's other pots all around, groups of pots all around, this one just really calls to you. You know what I mean? It's just that little bit of color. It's a little something extra.
Especially in spring, I find glazed containers can really pop. And sometimes I like to pair some of my glazed containers with some really simple terracotta colors or something, almost to emphasize that glaze, the color on them. So I'll have just a few simple glazed containers, like two or three, but then I'll have an array of different terracottas as sort of a backdrop to that.
Yeah. So eventually we do get to put plants in them. but not just annuals, right? You know, you really at Chanticleer, you really call in excuse me, a lot of different kinds of plants into the design of your container. So sort of tell us about some of the range of what might find its way into a pot there.
Oh, yeah. I say don't limit yourself. I think the more you can expand your palette and add to the diversity of your containers, the more interesting they are. So a lot of different things can work. Usually with small trees or shrubs, we'll use as big accents in a container. Other things like perennials and grasses and other herbaceous material. It's kind of a fun way to integrate those in with some annuals around your container. I particularly like using perennials in my containers because those are the perennials that I then plant out into the garden afterwards. It's kind of a nice way to stretch my plant budget. So I will start there. I'll start with perennials that I know I want to add into my garden. But before I do that, I'll use them in a container for the first season. Mixed in with annuals and things. And then in the fall, when I'm ready to, you know, dismantle my containers and get ready for winter, I'll plant them out into the garden. And then kind of go in that two cycle process. So it's just a fun way to use a diversity of material, even if it's things I'm going to use, and a nice way to kind of repurpose some of the material that you're using in your containers. And like I said,
Right.
always good to stretch the budget.
You said perennials, and you said woody plants as well, maybe trees and shrubs. I love things like Japanese maples in pots, you know. And
Yes, yeah.
one of the tricky things is that, and I have a lot of them that I've had for a long time, and they get tucked in the garage in the winter because I'm in a slightly colder zone where they can kind of get beat up, and the pots would certainly get beat up outside. One of the tricky things is figuring out if you want to have something as sort of a ground cover beneath them, is it also has to be something that can take that treatment. Do you know what I mean? If it's a
Yeah.
perennial. And one thing I found years ago, quite by accident, and it has just been the most wonderful thing, is that sedum, that gold sedum called Angelina. It's just a real prostrate, really ground covery one.
Yeah,
I mean, it
beautiful.
just makes this,
Waterfall.
and it's 365. I can open the garage door in like, December, and it's like gleaming gold in there. The
Like
beautiful plant. I mean, it's
still doing it, yeah.
doesn't miss a beat, right? So something like as simple as like ground covery kind of sedums could finish off a woody plant, a big pot of a woody plant, and be almost like a permanent pairing. And when I
Exactly.
say permanent, I don't mean 100 years,
Yeah, I really like a lot of little minor bulbs like scillas and kaiyenodoxas and muscari kind of tucked into some of my woody containers because they are a bit of commitment. I mean,
Right.
woody plants in containers are kind of more of a permanent thing. You wouldn't really want to, their root systems can potentially get compromised being in the container, so you wouldn't necessarily want to plant them out. But they're fantastic, like you said, to take them into the garage for winter and then bring them out again. And other little natives like Houstonia that kind of carpet
Oh, the
the bottom.
bluets.
I've seen those work really effectively, really beautifully, particularly in little bonsai containers as well. They kind of it's in that scale.
Yeah, that's a great idea. The little bluets, I love them. They're adorable.
Anytime I can integrate native spring ephemerals into any of my containers, I'll do it. They're some of my favorite plants to work with.
At Chanticleer, you guys have fun also with containers. Like you'll have containers with water and float flowers in them and things like that, don't you?
Yeah, we've kind of it's kind of become our thing a little bit is our floating flower arrangements. And we do them because they're fun, you know, they're colorful, they're interesting. I particularly like them because what they basically are is a bowl of water that we change out daily, and we'll change these arrangements daily to change the water out. And they're really sort of what's happening, what's blooming in the garden at that time, in that moment, that day. And so they're very fleeting, and you really see the transition of the seasons. And I think they're a really fun study in color and texture and form. You know, you can have a walk around your garden and see all the different colors, maybe of the foliage or of what's flowering, and see what they look like together in a bowl. So I really enjoy. I tend to have a lot of our interns working on that because I think it's a good study in garden design, thinking about form and space and texture and all that good stuff.
Right. And you also use some prunings from elsewhere in the garden, don't you? Don't you use some branches and twigs and so forth? Almost like someone might use in a floral arrangement, so to speak.
Oh, very much so. I mean, and that really came from a lot of winter projects, a lot of coppicing and trimming. So really this sort of stemmed from winter pruning. We just started repurposing all of those branches. So things like salix and dogwood and all of these winter blooming twigs that look wonderful in winter and very bright and vibrant. We'll just repurpose those in our containers. And especially in spring, what you get is this sort of instant height, instant color in your containers where the rest of the garden is still waking up. You can have this instant height and color in your containers and just sort of sticking them in. And I particularly love sticking sticks in stuff, you know. And really, it's just sort of repurposing what you have in your garden. And it's kind of fun to just look in your own garden and see what kind of things you have that you can integrate back into your containers for the new for your new season's display. It's kind of a fun challenge. So we'll use that a lot. And particularly, that carries through the season as well. Using them for trellising, for annual vines and things like that. I find when I'm doing that, adding sticks as a structure, it shows that intent initially of this will get big, this little begonia vine that's just at the base of my container, and it eventually will take over, but initially just having that framework there really shows that off.
Right. It implies what's to come, but right. That's a good idea. Do you start when it's time to kind of design plant wise? Do you start with the key plant? I mean, there's all those formulas like what is it, spiller, thriller, filler, and all kinds of the ways to make us think about design in pots, but. Do you begin with you'll have your grouping and you love where the empty pots, how it's working. Then do you sort of start visualizing, hey, I think this is where I have this banana and I'm going to bring it and put it in this pot, that pot in that group, and then what happens next kind of when you get to the plant choice thing? And again, I know it's subjective, but
Oh,
is
yeah.
yeah.
Well, that's the fun part, right? I always say, there's all these sort of recommendations you can follow with things like that. And plants are what bring your containers to life, so embrace that. And you can follow any kind of rules. I always tend to for me, I'm just trying to collect my thoughts here. For me, I think if you're going for a bold accent for a container, think about something like a banana or something that's going to complement that sort of bold intention. So something with big foliage or strong architectural foliage. When you're at a garden center, it can be really maybe overwhelming isn't quite the right word, but your eyes certainly are bigger than your stomach. So I always say, start with one key plant. Start with the one thing that you see. Maybe it's something you read in an article or you've seen before or you really enjoy growing. Start with one plant that you really like and build off of that. So that's my one plant that's going to go in my container. What can I add to that container that's going to enhance my first plant that I'm adding to it? Is it adding more color, some complementary color, or is it adding a textural difference, or is it adding, some height, or is it adding something softer or bolder in contrast to that one thing that you start with? I find it's a good way to kind of get yourself on a track instead of just getting one of everything, and then you have something a little more chaotic as a result.
Yes, I sometimes the one that you start with, sometimes it's because for me, I love foliage and I want to talk about that in a minute because I know foliage is so important. It's not all about flowers in these pots at Chanticleer. I can see a leaf of something that's really beautiful in the garden center in spring. There could be this what do they call it? They call it the copper leaf plant, a calypha, or even a coleus with intricate leaf color, color combination in the leaf. And then I could be like marching around the garden center the rest, for an hour looking for things that go with that palette, so to speak, like as if the leaf is telling me what my design is gonna, incorporate. Do you know what I mean? It's like
Oh,
that's my
yeah.
inspiration. Just one leaf can do it for me.
Yeah, sometimes, I'll just be holding the plant and just sort of walking around and
Yeah,
holding
me
it for
too.
others. Okay, is that going to work? Is that going to work?
We
And
should shop together. We would be a good pair.
that'd be great. Yeah.
Oh, so foliage. Yeah, foliage is important, right? I mean, we shouldn't just go shopping for the flowers, flowers. I mean, I know like the Calibrachoa section and the Petunia section are the biggest, and they've got a billion of them and all those colors, but that's not the whole story, is it?
Oh no, foliage makes all of gardening more dynamic and more interesting. Foliage is very colorful. Foliage is very textural. There's that saying of flowers are fleeting, foliage is forever. So there's something to be said about that. So don't be afraid to pick up on that. Looking at textures, looking at bold shapes of different flowers. Begonias come to mind, very big, wide leaves
Yes.
with a great texture. So pairing that with something softer, like a carex, a sedge with soft foliage, or a grass, something in contrast that way. Or some begonias, again, they'll have really intricate, sort of red marooning to that. So pairing that with something that would have sort of a red foliage to bring up that color here off of that. So the possibilities are endless. And like I said, it's really more about, don't overthink it. Think, have fun with what you're seeing and what you're doing. And don't be afraid to try something new, because that's how we learn, right? Is it may not
Right,
work all the
right,
time, every time,
right.
but take notes and build off of your successes.
Do you guys do any bulbs, like sort of bulbs in pot? I love the pineapple lilies, the Eucomus, for instance. And do you do bulbs in pots as well? You talked about some minor ones that, like seasonal minor ones, that we would think of more as perennials and so forth. But do you plant any pots of bulbs for the summer?
Absolutely. And that's something we'll do in the fall as part of when we do our fall bulb planting. We usually end up planting a lot of our containers with bulbs as well, as kind of to get ready for the season. I always tend to, if I'm planting a bed of tulips in one of my seasonal display beds, I'll usually set aside, 10 or so of those bulbs and from that planting, and then I'll pot up two containers, just some simple, tulips in a simple terracotta, and overwinter them in our cold frames. And then in the spring, I can kind of set those out next to my bed, and so my containers on my terrace match, sort of pair with my display in the beds, and it's a nice sort of way of kind of harmonizing, your planting beds with all of your containers on the terrace. So it's kind of fun to work that way.
It
And
really underscores the bigger message, doesn't it? Just those two little pots just really underscore the bigger planting.
and it's just kind of a nice thing to just kind of like set those aside in the fall. And putting up bulbs in the fall is always a wonderful feeling too, because it's sort of that first step at getting ready for spring and that anticipation. So we really enjoy that.
Right. Are there certain plants that you can't imagine kind of being without in the container designs there, like for those of us who want to maybe make some investments this year. And I loved seeing in the I can't remember exactly which week or month it was, but when you all were sort of it might have been last year, trotting out sort of when all the goodies were starting to come out of storage, all the tender things were starting to get, and you just have such a, Chanticleer just has such an incredible wealth of treasures, what I call investment plant, I think of as investment plants, things that I stash in my cellar, which, pale by comparison to what you all have. But are there things that if we're going to go and go shopping and get seduced by something that we could get a lot of mileage out of, a lot of years out of, a lot of oomph out of, do you think that can work in our containers for years to come, that you'd recommend we sh take a look at that department in the garden center?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think some of my favorites that we use here in the garden, begonias are wonderful that
Yes.
kind of brought those up before. And there's so many different colors and textures and shapes and forgiving, I think, over winter when you bring them in, for the lack of light. I really love certain types of tree ferns, especially ones that truncate or kind of get a
Oh.
little bit of height to them. So Blechnum brasiliens, they're a little bit more smaller, but they have a great form, great shape, and other tree ferns that kind of eventually get to a certain height. And
Oh.
those kinds of things where you can have them inside and then you bring them out and you have that instant height, instant architecture
Huh.
that we tend to use a lot.
And I know you have some great like Abyssinian bananas and other sort of banana type things. I believe I've seen pictures that you use, maybe not in container. Well, some may be in containers, but also you use in your borders and so forth. But
Yeah,
they
the
can be
main thing about
great.
bananas is sort of you take the whole cone, you know, the whole root system and all, and bring that in, and they can transplant really well. So we can have them in the ground one season, we can have them in a container one season, and they'll grow out. So they're kind of fun to bring in and out and use in a diversity of ways. They tend to be really forgiving that way.
Yeah, we just have a minute or two left, but are you going to do like swap outs? Like, do you do like early pots and then summer pots and then fall pots, or do you kind of gradually tease things out and add things in and evolve each design, or does it, or all of the above? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, part of gardening is bracing the seasonality of what's happening at that one time and things coming in and out of bloom and color and texture. So I think for us, it's very much an evolution through the season. So we open to the public officially next Wednesday, March 27th, and we'll be open through October. And so, it starts with a lot of tulips and bulbs and spring annuals and containers. And as the temperatures start to warm up, I'm slowly sort of piecing some things in and pulling some things out. So just kind of picking things in and out. And it's a slow transitional process. The goal is to kind of have it like, oh, it's just happening all on its own, is it? And
Oh, right.
sort of transitioning.
Yeah, nobody has to do anything, right, David?
It all just happens. Isn't that wonderful?
That's amazing. Well, David
So.
Mattern, I'm so glad to talk to you. And I can't wait to see pictures of the pots as they show up on Instagram, on the Chanticleer one and on your own. I'll give links to all that. And
Absolutely.
obviously
Stay
I'll
tuned for more.
give lots of links to past things and so forth, and to our past conversations about vegetables as well. So thanks for making time today, and I hope I'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you again soon too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as at awaytogarden. And happy gardening, including in containers, meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at wholesale prices. On the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, offering 30 new seed varieties for 2024. Professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, whiteflowerfarm.com.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.